Tonight's the night that we conclude the missions conference, and I'm hoping every one of us can take something home with us that maybe happened during the conference, or several things, whether it's seeing the Javed family, or it was good, I think, for all of us to see Michael and his wife and see how she's progressing. Beverly is, you know, I know what I went through, but I don't know how that compares to having a transplant. And so I'm glad she could come. I think it's good for her, too, just to have our folks love on her. Then, of course, Tim and Tina Travis and her family. And so I hope some of those things are precious to sowing memories for you. But it's also been good for me to have fellowship with Brother Seth Richards. And even today over dinner, it's just a good time of fellowship. And I'm looking forward even to after service tonight. He'll be leaving in the morning. He'll be going to El Paso, from El Paso up to Cleveland. Wonderful church up there where Roy Thompson used to be the pastor. And he's now in heaven. And the pastor that followed him is a good man. And a strong church. As a church, when I knew Brother Dr. Thompson, the church was averaging around 2,500. And he practiced closed communion. And believed just like we believe. And he had a heart for missions. Matter of fact, when he retired, it's not that far, but he and his wife went north to Canada. And he finished out his life serving literally on the field in Canada. So we're glad that he can be there. I believe it'll be a blessing for Brother Seth and that church. But for now, he's going to be a blessing to us, I'm sure. So Brother Seth, if you'll come, please. I don't know. Brother Keith, do we have very many missions booklets left? There were three or four booklets. So we've got three or four. If you haven't picked up one, pick one up. It shows all of our missionaries. There's room in there for notes. And then at the end of the service, those of you that haven't turned in a faith promise card, Brother Keith will have those ready for us too. So let's just pray the Lord speak to our heart. And we'll be involved in what God wants us to do with world evangelism. Love you.
I promised the church in English that I'd take a picture of you guys. Some people said, we don't want that. Well, I show you pictures of them. They said, you show pictures of us. We want to see pictures of them. I said, all right. Okay. And especially if we're going to pray for you guys, it's always good to put a face to the church and so forth. So act like you're having a good time. All right. There we go. Be sure to turn your cell phones on silent. I think that's one of the phrases I use most when I get up to preach. Make sure your cell phones are on silent. I'd like to thank you for just your reception, how you received me and treated me while I'm here. I don't take that for granted. And for the support all these years, I just want to say thank you. And thank you for caring for lost souls in Germany and sending someone so they might hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it really makes all the difference. Somebody asked me one time, they said, well, what's the mindset of a German? And because Germans are very different than French people, praise the Lord, we're different than the Austrians and the Polish people and so forth. I always explain it this way. If an American and a German are walking through a park and they want to get somewhere, and you could just cut across the grass right there in that big grass part in the park, the American says, let's just diagonally cut across the grass. And the German says, we can't do that. And the American says, why not? Doesn't say anywhere that we can't. And the German says, it doesn't say anywhere that we can. See, that's the difference. The German likes his rules and regulations. A German follows the rules. So when COVID hit, they're real sheep. They follow all the rules. And I'm thankful that people here said, wait a minute, does this make any sense? and so forth. And there are Germans, there are. But they do follow the rules. Now, here's the good thing. It's hard to see Germans get saved because they're very hard-hearted. They're very stubborn. And the Germans have one thing. It's what I call know-how. My chemistry teacher in school said, "You want to know why we were so feared during World War II?" I said, "You want to know?" He said, you could capture a German soldier, lock him naked in the closet, and after 2 hours he came out with a machine gun. Because we were inventive and we knew how to do it. He said, we got cut off from a supply that we needed to make gunpowder, and we invented a way to get it out of the air. And that's what he explained, and he showed us how they did that. And so the Germans have know-how. They're very inventive. And their mindset is, who are you to tell me how it is? If anybody's going to tell anybody how it is, it will be us, you, not you, us. And they told my father when he first got there, they said, "Well, Mr. Richards, why are you coming here to be a missionary? Why don't you go to Africa? We're all Christians here." And that's their mindset. Now, here's the good thing, though. Once a German oftentimes gets saved, then to disciple him, and he has a hunger to know why we believe this and why we do this and so forth, and they have a thirst for knowledge, and so it's then easier maybe then to instruct them in the Word of God. And my dad always said this, and for Germany in general, he said Germans are thorough in everything that they do except the Word of God. They don't know the Word of God. And that's exactly where, of course, Satan would have any people or any country to be. As long as they don't see the light and they stay in darkness, you could have anything you want to. And they'll offer you anything you want. Open your Bibles with me to 1 John, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John and chapter 3. Make sure, if you didn't get a prayer card of mine, I really covet your prayers. And please pick up a prayer card. Out of sight, out of mind. But the prayer card helps you keep me and the ministry there in English dot in mind. And the Bible does say that mine eye hath affected my heart. And it would be best if, of course, you could see the people and hear the people and talk to the people. But just having a prayer card oftentimes reminds you that there are missionaries to pray for. Amen. 1 John in chapter 3. I'd like to tonight to speak on the subject of eternity. We're headed to eternity. I think about eternity sometimes. I don't understand everything about eternity. And if you were to ask me, how's heaven going to be like? I don't know everything about heaven. Nor do I believe does the Bible tell us everything that we could know about heaven. I believe it tells us everything we should know about heaven. Amen. I'll be preaching and I'll say, the Bible doesn't tell us everything that there is to know, but everything that we need to know. Amen. We don't need extra biblical revelation from some prophet or some weirdo out there that had some dream. We have everything we need for this life and the life to come, and to be prepared for the life to come, and to know that we have eternal life. Amen. Now when we get to heaven, yes, now we see through a dark veil, like a dark glass and so forth, and we will have a greater understanding, probably even a perfect understanding of things when we get to heaven. And I'm thankful for that as well. But in 1 John, I want to show you, and we're going to look at a subject. Have you ever considered heaven? And a lot of people, when they think about that, they think about where we are going to be. Now, to know where you're going to spend eternity is vitally important. And 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." So through faith in Christ, we can know. He's preparing a place for us so that where He is, we shall be also. We can have that assurance. And we can have that hope. But oftentimes we limit our thinking to where we are going to be. Let me ask you this tonight. Have you ever considered what you'll be in heaven? Have you ever considered how you'll be in heaven? Shaped and formed? Have you ever considered why you'll be the way you'll be? never to be changed. Again, I don't have all the answers, nor do I believe the Bible gives us all the answers, but look with me. And also, I want to say this, and I kind of named it just for tonight, the sermon title would be The Difference Missions Makes in Eternity. And it will make a difference. It makes a difference here, and it'll make a difference in eternity. Look with me in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. John, the human writer, but the Holy Ghost is the author in moving him to write this and pin this down. But can you just imagine how he's writing this, and this the Holy Ghost illuminates his mind and causes him to write this down? And he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. Lord, we do thank you for heaven. We do thank you for saving grace. Lord, I still remember the day I got saved when I was 6 years old. I thank you for salvation. It still thrills me, still excites me. Lord, that we may never get over the joy of our salvation and the wonder and just your grace that you and what you did for us on Calvary. We can't fully understand it, even grasp the magnitude of it. I couldn't grasp it with six. I still can't grasp it now, Lord. But I received you and I believed in you and put my faith and trust in you. Lord, I pray that you might also illuminate our minds according to your word and with the help of your word, that we might be mindful and soberly living a life in your will, Lord, that will have an effect for all eternity. Give us some understanding and motivation, Lord, to live a holy life, to live a separated life, Lord, and to live a life that is a light and salt in a dark and dying world. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Somebody says, "Well, preacher, you asked the question, what we will be like." And the Bible here says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I think it's Romans chapter 6. It says, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. You ever read that? Somebody says, "Well, see, preacher, you just answered your own question. When we get to heaven, we'll be like Christ." And that is true. Amen. We'll be like Christ. Well, let me ask you this, though. Will we just all be a copy of each other? Will there be any distinction and differences? One thing we clearly know is there will be distinguishes in reward. We know that. And there will be distinguishes probably in privileges. And I'll show you why I believe that, or why at least to a great degree I can conclude that from the Word of God. We'll look at that in just a minute. But does the Bible not actually indicate that we will be known as we were known? Yeah. I call your attention again to the verse 2. And he says in the middle, "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be." Basically, he's saying this. He's saying, I don't know exactly how we're going to be. I do know we will be like Christ, but it doth not yet appear exactly how we will be. Turn with me, if you would. We'll come back. So you might want to leave something here. And I'm probably getting out the wrong one. Yeah, I was. All right, I'll come back. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You see, I got a new Bible. I'll explain. I got a new Bible. I thought to myself, I need a large print Bible. And I don't always have to use my reading glasses. I kind of do, I kind of don't. But now that I got this new Bible, I can't find my way around the Bible. Been using the same Bible for a long time. Got all kinds of notes written in it. Now I look at here and there's nothing in there. And I'm like, good night. What am I doing? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Wait. Just a minute. See, I wrote her down. Out of memory. Yeah, see, I knew it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Something was wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look with me in verse 40. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 40. The Bible says there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Now, what does that mean? It means there's different kind of bodies, and there we've got to watch. We got an earthly body, and we'll have a heavenly body. And I've said before, I'm thankful I'm going to get a new body. I'm going to get a perfect body. I'm not going to have this body. Amen. I'm thankful. And the Bible does indicate that very, very clearly. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Now watch, but here's how the Bible then helps us to understand this. And it gives example or it gives explanation. Verse 41, there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. Now watch, for one star differeth from another star in glory. Watch, so also is the resurrection of the dead. You see, Christ was raised from the dead, and He'll raise us. And the Bible says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. What? Well, one star differs from another star in glory. Have you ever heard the saying? I've heard it when I was a child. No two stars are alike. Have you ever heard that? Maybe you've heard this saying. No two snowflakes are alike. You've ever heard that? They're all individual. I remember there was a lady. She had the highest IQ back then. Non-savant or something like it was her name. And anyway, I remember on the radio hearing her explain why scientists consider snowflakes to be individual, none to be alike. I remember thinking when I was a child, somebody would say, hey, you guys realize no two snowflakes are alike? And I remember thinking, why could not a snowflake here in Metzingen, Germany, and one over there, and maybe Albuquerque, why could they not be alike? Have you ever taken a gazillion of these things and compared them to each other? How do you know? Are you just trying to sound intellectual? You heard this somewhere. But you know why? Watch. You see, a snowflake, when it starts, or it has its beginning, or even birth, you might say, it's not a snowflake. It starts with the smallest particle of dust or dirt or whatever, something where the water, the humidity can cling to. Watch, and then a scientific report would actually talk about rapidly branching crystals, and while it is falling from heaven to earth, it grows, and it is shaped and formed, then when it lands on earth, into what it will be. And depending on the variables and the factor that it encounters, it will be shaped and formed. Now, what could be some of the most obvious factors it encounters? What could that be? Well, humidity. What was it? Wind, turbulence. See, I'm getting the scientific. Impurities in the air. And what we've got to realize is this. It could start out real cold, then warm up, but then hit another cold. And the wind could be coming way up there on this side, and then down here on this side, and over here circling. And you've ever hit turbulence in a plane, they'll actually change the height or go up or down just to find other winds or other conditions. Watch. And on and on and on we could go. But it is very simple then to realize. You got your mind in gear? That no snowflake will experience exactly what another snowflake experiences falling from heaven to earth. And since that determines how it's shaped and formed, it cannot be shaped and formed as another snowflake. Now, does that make sense? It would almost be like saying, you know, I think there's probably two people on the face of this earth that have exactly the same experiences in life. Now, how possible is that? It's impossible. It's impossible. And it's impossible that one snowflake experiences exactly what another snowflake experiences, but it carries all those experiences in body. I believe that description says can really help us when it comes to the Christian life. Because the Bible says, look, we'll all be like stars, and all stars differ. So somebody might say this, well, preacher, help me tonight. What is going to be the basis of our difference? Now, I'm not going to take real long, but watch, I'll fast forward a little bit. But the basis of our difference will be simply this, character. Character. Let me explain that. In the Webster's 1828, the definition of character, the purest definition you'll find is this, your typical behavior. Your typical behavior. Listen, not your exceptional behavior, not your occasional behavior, but your day in, day out, who you really are, behavior. It's who you really are. Would you agree with me that probably a lot of Christians are more Christian-like at church on Sunday than they are from Monday through Saturday? You'd have to agree with that, friend. You'd have to agree with that. Because we know how to act when we're at church. But a lot of times, when we're on visitation or when we're here, but a lot of times maybe how we act at church isn't how we act on vacation. Or watch, how we act when nobody's looking. But your typical behavior is who you are day in and day out, who you are in the dark, who you are at a gas station, no matter where you are, who you are, that's your typical behavior. That is really who you are. Listen, and everything is naked and undone before whom we have to do, the Bible says, right? He beholds us at any time, at any point of our life, and He knows our character. He knows our character. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter. Watch, we're going to tie some truths together here, and actually it's going to go pretty quick. 2 Peter. 2 Peter, now that's pretty close to where we were at the beginning, so you might go back to 1 John and then go back to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. We'll start in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now watch. This is talking to saved people. Partakers of the divine nature. By the way, the whole message really is for saved people. Those that are on their way to heaven. Amen. You're not on your way to heaven until you have been born again, the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. One of the greatest misconceptions, if you're here tonight, watch, and you think, well, aren't we all children of God? Nope, that's not what the Bible teaches, not at all. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. That's what the Bible teaches. And listen, you can be as good as Nicodemus was, but Jesus said, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. You must be born again, He said. And it was an emphatic must. So if you're saved, watch, you're a partaker of the divine nature. Let me ask you this. A child is born with a nature. Let me ask you this, though. Is he born with character? I've got two sisters. I told you a little bit about them. Character had to be whipped into my sisters. And I watched it. And I prayed for them. Sometimes. And I didn't tell them I did it too. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying, you have to train up a child in the way he should go. Because the way he would go and the way he should go, one preacher said this, heaven and hell are not more far apart than that. Yeah, that's absolutely right. You have to train up a child in the way he should go, and you have to add to him or her character. So people get saved. They've got a divine nature. Let me ask you this. Do they have Christ-like character? Look with me in verse 5. Watch, and besides this, giving most of your diligence. Is that what it says? Giving some of your diligence. No. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make ye that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch. It's adding to your life the characteristics and the character traits of Christ. It's really what it's doing. And the Bible says, besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. I remember I was preaching at a Bible college once, and I asked them, we read all these character traits, and I said, which word in this text do you think is the most important? Which word? And some were like, brotherly kindness, charity, you know, faith and hope and all those things. But charity remaineth. And they had some good answers. Yeah. You know what I told them? I said, I believe the most important word in the passage is the little word add. Add. For without add, there is no character. No Christ-like character. Don't answer out loud. But how many people do you know, Christians, that are continually developing? How many do you know? Listen. I remember going to Ingolstadt, and one of the mistakes I made as being a young preacher, I wasn't a novice in the Word of God, but one of the mistakes I made was I was preaching over their heads. I was preaching things that were interesting to me, but then they would come later on, they'd say, who's Ahab? And I got to realize, I have to teach them, I have to give them milk. I can't give them steak. And I had to learn that. Amen. And I did learn it real quick. But I had to teach them things that would be boring to me. But I had to watch. I had to help them grow. But watch, I could have looked out there and I could have said, I know more than all of you together. So I can just kind of plateau till you catch up to me somewhere. No. It's just important for me, Seth Richards, to grow as it is for them to grow. You know what I tell sometimes my fitness classes or karate classes? You know what I tell them? I'm not interested in your level of fitness. What I'm interested in is the direction that you're headed. That's what I'm interested in. And really, I'm not interested in your level of spirituality. What I'm interested in is the direction that you're moving spirituality, in your spirituality. Where are you headed? Because somebody can know a lot about the Word of God, but he can actually be drifting downward when another Christian that just got saved is going upward. Oh, he doesn't know as much as him, but he's moving in the right direction, and he's moving in the wrong direction. Do we understand that? How many Christians do you know that are continually developing in their Christian life? Continually working at it. I told the college class there, I said, don't be satisfied with reading your Bible 3 chapters a day or whatever you might do. Listen, if you're not careful, you'll view that as being the end of your performance. And it never was designed to be the end of your performance. It was designed to be the means to the end of your performance. Do you understand that? I don't open my Bible in the morning, read 3 chapters, close it, and I say, done! I've done it. But watch, I take it with me. I meditate upon it. And I ask the Lord to feed me from His Word all day long that I might live it, that I might adhere to it. Watch, just taking it in. A lot of Christians are this way. This is what I call it. They're supermodel Christians. That's what I call them. They take it, they chew it. Yeah, spit it back out as soon as they walk out those doors. Just like James says, look into that mirror, and then immediately once they turn away from it, forget what manner of man they were. And they never swallow it.
They never receive it. They never live it. They never adhere to it. They never obey it. Never becomes a part of them. If I eat a if I eat an apple, it becomes a part of me. If I chew it up and say, oh yeah, that tastes pretty good, spit it back out, never becomes a part of me. Do we understand that? In the Word of God, listen, the Bible never says just to read the Word of God. Never says that. The Bible says to eat it. The Bible says to drink it. The Bible says, listen, to meditate upon it. The Bible says not to be hearers only, but doers of the Word. Listen, why is this so important that we add to our faith? Why is this so important? You know, one person told me once, they said, you know, preacher, you might be right, but you'll never know who I am in the dark. And I said, you're probably right. You're probably right. Maybe you deceived your parents. Maybe your pastor doesn't know. But here's why it's so important. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Watch, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And here we tie the truths together that we looked at. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. The Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know what this word appear means? I put it this way often. It means to be literally turned inside out. You see, you can hide it here and now. But you will appear who you really are at the judgment seat of Christ. No hiding it there. Now, you never hid it from Him anyway. But you will appear exactly who you are before the judgment seat of Christ. Somebody says, why? Well, look at verse 10 again. That, judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now watch. This is sometimes a verse we just kind of read quick and we don't consider actually what it's saying. Watch. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done. Now let's just stop there. Somebody says, isn't that redundant? He said, the things we did in our physical body we did, according to that we did. Didn't he just say what we did? No. I'll try to emphasize it. That we may receive the things done in our body according to that we did. We'll receive, get this. Wood, hay, and stubble will burn up, but precious stone and all this, watch, and our rewards we will receive in our bodies. That's what the Bible's saying. According to that we have done. It's not redundant. And why did you do it? Whether it be good or bad. I think here we can safely conclude. Listen. If you're on your way to heaven, you're saved. Nobody can take that away from you. You can't take it away from you. Watch, you'll be in heaven. In heaven, and watch, heaven will be filled with Christians. And you'll see another Christian. And immediately you'll be able to tell just what kind of Christian he or she really was. You see, a snowflake carries in body a record of what it went through. The winds, the storms, all this stuff. And you and I will carry in body a living record of how we reacted to the winds and the storms and the trials and the temptations of this life. Most of all, how we reacted to the molding, listen, to the molding hand of God, always and about to transform us into His image. And we'll carry that, I said, in body. One person one time asked me, he said, well, how can you carry a precious stone in your body? Have you ever read about Lucifer and his body? And it says in his body he had precious stone. It says it. That's what it says. And it names them. You see, there are celestial bodies and there are terrestrial bodies. And I can't tell you exactly what we're going to look like, but I do believe from the Word of God we can safely conclude you will carry your rewards in body. Some stars you can see, bright, almost as bright. I mean, just they're there. They're evident. The scientists say most stars we can't even see with the naked eye. There'll be those, watch, they'll shine with glory. What exactly is that dependent upon? Well, again, our character and who we were and how we, watch, developed, adding to putting on Christ and putting us off. But one thing I can say specifically and for certain, just listen, you don't have to turn to it, but the Bible does say this, watch. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, you probably know this verse. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Soul winners. We could also say fruit bearers. And that's why we're here, is to bear fruit. That's why we're here. Watch, they shall shine as the stars forever and ever. Turn with me to one more passage and we're done. Go with me to 2 Peter. You can actually go back to 1 John and then just go a little bit back because we're in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to show you one more thing. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Watch. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up, the Bible says. That means, listen, everything here, all the works, everything you ever accomplished for this world, it's going to be burned up. It's coming to naught. The Bible says, seeing, verse 11, realizing, seeing, then all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of person ought ye to be in all, listen, in all holy conversation and godliness? So you come to church. How you doing, sister? How you doing, brother? Man, praise the Lord. Listen, all holy conversation and godliness. But who ought you to really be? Who are you really? I mean, it's hard to even imagine that Judas Iscariot was amongst them and they couldn't even tell who it was. They didn't even know. You say, I know who's not real here. No, you don't. But you know who you are and you know what your typical behavior is and who ought you to be. In all holy conversation and godliness. Because not only, I've heard this, as long as I can remember, one thing that will surprise us, or two things that will surprise us in heaven, who will be there that we thought wouldn't be there, and who won't be there that we thought would be there? But I think also what that will surprise us is this, who we thought might really shine, won't shine. And who we thought, who's this, will shine. You understand that? Because the Lord knew and they knew, they didn't have to show it or flaunt it. They knew who they were. That's why John concludes, we started in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2. That's why his conclusion on this whole matter is simply this in verse 3. And hereby, no, wait, 1 John 3, I'm in 1. Watch, verse 3. 3:3. Now I got it. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Purify your lives before the Lord. Humble yourself before whom? The Lord. David said, in thine eyes, Psalms 51, in thine eyes have I sinned. Not in other people's eyes, in his eyes. One preacher said it this way, one day you'll leave behind all that you have and take with you all that you are. That's good. I put it down this way. You know, you're always free to make choices. You're always free. And you must make choices in this life. But you're never free from the choices that you make. Because every road leads to judgment. And your life and my life leads to eternity. The final judgment. And listen, and no Christian will escape that you'll carry a living record of who you really were for all eternity. I'm so glad you were concerned about your appearance today. Most of you put on deodorant, I noticed. Most of you combed your hair, brushed your teeth. But we're so concerned oftentimes about our physical appearance here, I wonder about our spiritual appearance. Let me leave you with this thought, and we'll pray. But I remember telling that college, what if I had the ability to snap my fingers and everyone appeared exactly how they really were? Who would still want to be here? I said, we from us, who would still want to be here? I ask you though, listen, if the Lord came tonight, how would you appear? Never to be changed for all eternity. You see, you still have time to grow. You still have time to develop. But you will appear and you will receive and you'll carry those things for eternity in body. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to grow, to put on, to go on to perfection, as your word says. We have the ability now to make a difference, to add to our life your character. We have the ability now to be witnesses. We have the ability now to turn many to righteousness. We have the ability to be soul winners. And they shall shine. They will carry their rewards. May everyone have the humility of heart to look in themselves and answer the question, if I stood before the Lord now, who am I really? How would I appear? And surely there's those here, maybe all, that ought to clean up their life and put on those things which we ought to put on. Not be spiritual children anymore, but when we became adults, to put off those things and be mature Christians, move forward in this life, touching other lives, being a witness in word and in deed. Lord, help us to clean up our lives before you. Lord, that we might shine, that we might carry rewards and be rewarded like those stars that you can see, you just can't miss. That we might live our lives before you, before whom all things are naked and undone. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. It's sweet, but it's sharp, and it cuts down into our hearts. We pray this now in Christ's name. Amen.